may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So a while ago, I began my graduate studies in an English university, and I arrived there at Oxford just before what they call Trinity Term, which starts really for us in late spring. And I encountered this amazing time when seriousness and joy were all mixed together on the campus. I watched students go to a building called the Examinations Building, where the desks all spring were soaked with the sweat of students. I remember being struck by the students' behavior. You see, in the English system, when they begin college, those final exams seem quite distant. The English system is basically tutorial with support of lectures. You don't really even have to go to those lectures. You answer to your tutor. You're guided through the 3 to 4 years. Whatever papers you write, your tutor assigns, but it's very different from the American system. And the student faces, at the end of his or her 3rd year or 4th year, all of the examinations for the entire undergraduate degree. And so you can imagine the pressure that is on. A student can live oblivious to the final judgment at the end of that process. But as he enters the last year, he becomes more and more aware that judgment day is coming. If he cares at all about graduating, his life's habits are usually altered for a while, at least during this period. I distinctly remember one evening when a senior told his friends at a table next to mine in the Lamb and Flag pub on St. Giles in Oxford, "There will be no pubbing for me until I pass my examinations." Approaching judgment impacted his behavior. The season of Advent in the church year begins with the same point. And Advent simply means coming. Not only the coming of Christ the first time, but the coming of Christ a second time, which we confess in our creeds. He shall come again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead. It is the approach of the second coming of which our epistle lesson for this, the first Sunday in Advent, speaks. We find the following words of St. Paul to the Romans in the 13th chapter. "It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day." Well, first, St. Paul suggests a very progressive view of history to a final culminating end. And we kind of take this linear understanding of history for granted. But in the Greco-Roman world, there was no concept of a linear view of time. Time was simply cyclical, running in cycles. What the gospel brings to the world is the sense that, yes, there are repetitions and rhythms in life. The sun and moon return. But through all those rhythms, there is a linear progression taking place. We are moving toward a day of reckoning, whenever that might be. The Lord knows, only He knows. The notion of time moving forward to a final moment of judgment can be hard for us humans to grasp, particularly in our culture, where the notion of any sort of reckoning is very conveniently moved aside. Reminds me of a conversation between a farmer and the new parson in his community. So the minister comes to the farmer and says, "Do you belong to the Christian family?" asked the minister. farmer says, well, no, they live two farms down. No, no, says the minister. I mean, are you lost, brother? Farmer says, lost? Well, I've lived here 30 years. I mean, says the minister, are you ready for judgment day? Well, when is it? Asked the farmer. Well, the minister says, well, it could be today or tomorrow. Well, spoke up the farmer, when you find out for sure when it is, you let me know. My wife will probably want to go. Birthdays. Progress in time with a stated end is implied in St. Paul's words in the epistle. The day is at hand. The language is pregnant with symbolic meaning. The day is in a definite day in history. It meant for St. Paul a time when Christ would come again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead. His thought processes work like the following. Jesus is the light. When he returns, the light of God will expose all darkness and remove it by the powerful rays of the true Son of God. The coming of Christ, the meaning of Advent, therefore, link this forward movement in time to another coming, the second advent and the return of Christ. The incarnation, if you will, set it all in motion to this culminating moment. So the apostle speaks with eschatological tones in our epistle lesson, which leads to St. Paul's second point for us. The advance of time toward God's light and a definitive judgment coming in history has ethical implications for you and me. And you hear that in the language of St. Paul, and you know that, as the saying goes, not much good happens after 12 midnight in the dark. And when the light comes, the light exposes darkness. And St. Paul says, therefore, live like you're in the day. Walk like the light is shining on you all the time. For in a sense, as Christians, we are always in the light. The light's always on. Even though sometimes, you know, when my kids were little, they'd go to bed at night and they would pull the covers up over their head because they thought that would keep the little monsters under the bed away. But nothing really changed except just from their perception. St. Paul says, realize, Christians, that you're always in the light. Walk like it. And put on the armor of light. There's that final phrase that St. Paul gives us. We're to dress up in the armor of light and live like it. Just before the death of actor W.C. Fields, a friend visited Fields' hospital room and was surprised to find the old comedian thumbing through a Bible. Asked what he was doing with a Bible, Fields replied, I'm looking for loopholes. By way of contrast, and in point of fact, there aren't any loopholes. The good news is Jesus Christ is the great gift of grace to us to enable us to walk in the light. May God help us to walk in the light as we begin our Lenten journey. For indeed, the light is always on us as Christians. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive.